Hello, welcome. We're going to discuss financial statement analysis. So, basic financial statements is the balance sheet, which summarizes what a firm owns and owes at a given point in time. The balance sheet is a snapshot of a company's financial performance at any given time. The income statement, it reports on how much a firm earned in the period of analysis. So if we do an annual report, say for 2016, we want to know how company XYZ performed as far as being profitable. We can look at their income statement over the year 2016. We can also look at financial income statement at quarterly, monthly, things like that. So any period you can see the profitability of the firm. The statement of cash flows reports on cash inflows and outflows to the firm during the point of analysis. So we want to see how cash flow is cycling throughout our organization, the inflows and the outflows. So let's take a look at the balance sheet. Again, on the left side, assets, current assets, investments, plant, property, and equipment, intangible assets, other assets, total assets. On the right-hand side of the balance sheet, we have liabilities and owner's equity. Liabilities consist of current liabilities, long-term liabilities, and total liabilities. Now we have owner's equity beneath liabilities, total liabilities, and owner's equity should equal assets. Principles underlying the balance sheet. An unabiding belief in book value as the best estimate of nominal value. So let's discuss that for a second. So book value of a company is going to be related to the amount of owner's equity that they have after you subtract out assets, liabilities from assets. So you have assets minus liabilities equal owner's equity. That is the real value of the firm. So you want to look at the book value, which is what our balance sheet shows as the actual value of the firm. So the nominal value is the real actual value. So you'll have a market price, which is your stock, right, times the amount of shares outstanding. So again, the $10 stock price with the 10 million shares outstanding, that is going to give us the market value of our company. The market capitalization is going to be what the market says that our company is worth. But that value may be different than the book value. The book value, again, is going to be assets minus liabilities equals owner's equity. So our book value is going to be derived from the balance sheet, whereas the market value of our company will be derived by the actual equities market. A distrust of the market of estimated value. So the difference, again, between the market value and the book value of an asset, right, or of our company. The market price of an asset is often viewed as both much too volatile and too easily manipulated to be used as an estimate of value for an asset. This suspicion runs even deeper when values are estimated on future cash flows. So what we're trying to say here is we can't trust the market because the markets can be artificially manipulated through short selling or things like that. Short selling is artificially driving down the price of a stock through selling short, which we'll discuss later. Equity markets can be manipulated. Stock markets can be manipulated. So that's why it's best to trust the book value because it's the actual nominal value of the firm in regards to owner's equity. A preference for underestimating value rather than overestimating the value. Obviously, you want to be on the conservative side. Nobody wants to deal with inflated numbers. We want to make sure that we are staying conservative. We would rather underestimate the value of our firm than overestimate it just on a conservative basis because it's better to be conservative with your approach because, when we go to sell the firm or the organization, or we want to be bought out and we have our estimations are conservative, we can actually negotiate potentially a higher price and have investors run the actual nominal numbers and actually probably pay you out at a higher price per share if you're looking at a buyout situation. Measuring asset value. Since accounting statements begin with the historical cost at which assets were acquired and financing raised, they are not designed to measure the current value of the assets. So, assets depreciate over time, but using the book value and the accounting methods here, our price, our value of an asset, potentially property, plant, and equipment, will stay the same as when we bought it. Now, how we can, in the accounting phase, how you can offset that value is through the depreciation and amortization function, which we'll also cover later. The only assets that are reported at or close to market value are current assets, which may be your inventory, the actual value of that inventory that you hold, current assets. As a consequence, the liabilities and the shareholders' equity from an accounting statement are not measures of the current values of either. So accounting takes the original value and doesn't take into account appreciation of the value or potential depreciation value until you add that into the accounting mix. Fair value accounting, a trend in the U.S. and internationally, aims to bring asset values in accounting balance sheets close to their current market values. So a concept that is actually being floated globally is a fair value accounting standard, which will move assets closer to their current market values, which will actually give you a better representation of a company's actual owner's equity, which will be the book value of the firm. So let's look at the income statement. Income statement is a statement of your profitability. Notice we have revenue. This is our sales. This is the money that we've earned that our company has brought in. Now we take out expenses, right? So we've got $53,000 in expenses. Our revenue, $82,500. Expenses, $53,000. Income before income tax. So now we have our tax expense. So we subtract out the 53 from the 82, giving us 29.5, our income tax expense. And this line item, 29.5, the income before income tax, is known as EBIT, or earnings before interest and taxes. Now we'll take out the income tax expense, $11,500, to give us a net income, or our profit margin, or our profitability, or our profit of $18,000. So the income statement is revenue minus expenses, then we deduct for taxes, and then we have our profitability. So this is a simple example of an income statement, but you can get the concept. Principles underlying the income statement. In accrual accounting, the revenue from selling a good or service is performed. A corresponding effort is made on the expense side to match revenues to expenses. Expenses are categorized into operating, financing, and capital expenses. So our operating expenses will be how much money we spend to fund operations. The financing piece is what do we have to pay down on our debt. And capital expenses are what are we investing in our plant, property, and equipment. Operating expenses are expenses that provide benefits only for the current period. Cost of labor and materials spent to create products that are sold in the current period is a good example. Financial expenses are expenses arising from non-equity financing used to raise capital for the business. Most common example is interest expense on our debt. Capital expenses are expenses that are expected to generate benefits over multiple periods. For instance, the cost of property, plant, and equipment. Now, this is a cash flow statement. So now we can see cash flow for the year ending December 31st, 2017. So cash flow from operating activities. So you can see that we brought in receipts from customers, $1.3 million, payments to suppliers and employees, $1.564 million, total cash from operating activities. So these are all going outflows, so we have a negative $2.864 million. Cash inflows from investing activities, $500,000 there. Cash flows from financing activities, other cash items from financing activities, $5,000. So maybe in the cash flow from finance activities here with the $5,000, we potentially issued more stock here. That's why we see the positive inflow. Or we went into the market and leveraged up with some more debt, so now we have the cash. So our net cash flows, so we'll see we have got the $5,000 from financing activities. We've got the $500 from investing activities. So we'll subtract out the $2,864 from the operating activities. So our net cash flows for this period were $2,635.07. So now we'll record at the bottom of the ledger. You can see the net change in cash for the period was $2,635.07. So valuation of the cash flows. The cash flow statement is distinct from the income statement and balance sheet because it does not include the amount of future incoming or outgoing cash that has been recorded on credit. So if we have an accounts payable or we have an accounts receivable, the cash flow statement does not reflect that like an income statement would, because it is not cash that has actually been outflowed or inflowed. It is money to be paid out in the future. So our current cash flow analysis cannot show that because it hasn't occurred yet. Therefore, cash is not the same as net income, which on the income statement and balance sheet includes cash sales and sales made on credit. So let's look at operations on the cash flow. Measuring the cash flows, inflows and outflows, caused by core business operations, the operations component of cash flow reflects how much cash is generated from a company's products or services. Generally, changes made in cash, accounts receivable, depreciation, inventory, and accounts payable are reflected in cash from operations. Investing, changes in equipment, assets, or investments relate to cash from investing. Usually, cash changes from investing are a cash out item because cash is used to buy new equipment, buildings, or short-term assets such as marketable securities like equities or stocks. However, when a company divests of an asset, the transaction is considered cash in for calculating cash from investing. So we use cash to go buy the PPE, plant, property, equipment, right? So that's the cash outflow, the cash inflow. The reason why this is an investing mechanism in the cash flow is because when we sell that asset, hopefully the value of that asset is appreciated, and we consider the appreciation in price a capital gain. So this is an investment mechanism of the cash flow. Financing, changes in debt, loans, or dividends are accounted for in cash from financing. Changes in cash from financing are cash in when capital is raised, and they are cash out when dividends are paid. Thus, if a company issues a dividend to the public, the company receives cash financing. However, when interest is paid to bondholders, the company is reducing its cash position.